This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm delighted to be with you today. We love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always eager to hear from you right here on Women of Grace Live. Love to give you that phone number, and I'm going to do it right now. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't hesitate. Holy Spirit prompts you. Put a call in. You never know how your question will possibly incite a deeper level of faith in somebody else. You can evangelize through your questions and your comments, your insights, your inspirations, your words of encouragement. So we always encourage you to give us a call right here. Again, that number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Our call screener is Matt Gabinski. He is at the ready. He's at the helm. He's all good to go to get your call today. So do keep him busy. 833-288-EWTN. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment. Jeff Burson, who's our producer and social media manager, will rush right out there, grab it, retrieve it, put it up on the board, and we will be able to address it. Well, it is good that we are here, isn't it? It's good that we are here. This opportunity that God gives us every day to come together in the name of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is meant to be used by us in a way that enhances our faith, edifies our faith, helps us to build up that mystical body of Christ, you know, to be a source of encouragement to each other to keep moving forward. We're living in a beleaguered time. We're living in a difficult time. And I think that we all grow a little bit weary. I think that we all grow a little bit concerned. I think that we all can give way to fear and anxiety if we allow ourselves to do it. But when we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Scripture tells us, He is there in our midst. And He wants to give us every spiritual blessing in the heavens that we need to be able to move forward. And He provides us with very special opportunities to do that as well. And in addition to this being a very special opportunity and all of the programming here for you on EWTN Radio, in addition to all of that, we also occasionally have these events that pop up that will help you to live that abundant life in our Lord Jesus Christ and to share that abundant life with others. And I certainly do want to tell you about an upcoming event. As a matter of fact, I'm so excited because we have a special guest today, and he's going to be giving us a little bit of insight into what he'll be sharing with us at this special online event that is coming up very soon. It is. It's coming up October 1st and 2nd. Now, you're going to know that that's right between, you know, and right there at the Feast of the Angels, right tucked in after the Feast of the Archangels and right there for the Feast of our Guardian Angels. And we're going to be talking about angels, miracles, and other supernatural phenomena. And it's important for us to know about these things because, you know, God gives us, as I said a moment ago, every spiritual blessing in the heavens that we need. And many of the ways in which God blesses us is through the angels and through His divine and holy action that is given to us by way of miracles and by way of supernatural phenomena that draws our eyes off of this natural world and puts them directly on the heavenlies where we know all spiritual graces come from. And so this event is going to help encourage you to make use of the angels, to find out how the angels want to be of service to you, also to see how it is that God has intervened in the past. This gives us great hope for His intervention now and in the future. And in addition to that, we're going to be talking about some of the ways in which the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. Tucked into all of that, we're going to be talking about who the angels are not. We're going to be talking about those demonic presences who were once angels, but now through a decision that they made, a free will decision, have become evil. So we're going to be talking about the demonic realities. We're also going to be talking about the ways in which the evil one counterfeits these gifts of God, because we want to make certain that we are steering clear of those and opening ourselves completely to what it is that God wants to do in our midst. So I want want for you to join us for this beautiful event that's going to be taking place Friday evening, October the 1st, going into the evening on October the 2nd, Angels, Miracles, and Other Supernatural Phenomena. It is a Women of Grace online event. The details are available for you out there at our website, womenofgrace.com. What is it again? womenofgrace.com, plural on the women, all one word, womenofgrace.com. You're going to see what the event is all about. You'll discover who all of our speakers are. In addition to that, you're going to see what the topics are for each of their individual talks. And I just know you're going to be edified. I know you're going to be built up. I know that you're going to experience that marvelous gift that God wants you to receive, that one particular blessing he has in mind for you to receive. And his Holy Spirit prompting you is an indication that he's got something there for you. So we don't want you to frustrate the Holy Spirit. We want you to sign up. We want you to be there. We're going to be closing with a healing rosary, and it's a beautiful opportunity for us to present all of our needs to the Lord. But you know, we have seen our Lord work in powerful ways through this healing rosary. We saw it just last week in San Antonio, Texas. He never disappoints, because all the Lord is looking for is our invitation to come in and begin a dynamic work of faith, a dynamic work of healing within us. So we want you to be there for us. We're looking forward to being with you. Again, the information is available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. Simply get out there to womenofgrace.com. You'll see it listed under events. Click on it, takes you to the landing page. It gives you the info. And there is a big purple button that says click here to register. So you can click right there, and you'll be able to register right online. You will get the link that you'll need to be able to join us. And did I tell you that there's also a playback link that will come to you after the event, so that you'll be able to dip back into it, rewatch the presentations, be able to perhaps pick up, some of those little inspirational bits that you missed the first time through, and you will be able to once again experience the profound grace that God wants you to know. Now, if you cannot join us for the event, this playback link will come to you too. So do sign up and register. You'll get that playback link. You'll be able to watch it after the fact. So we try to make everything as accessible to you as we possibly can, as easy as we possibly can. We try to make it, just really very smooth for you. So get on out there and check it out. Do join us. It's coming up fast. You know, it's going to be here before you know it. Turn around twice, click your heels, and boom, there it is. So do join us for this beautiful, beautiful event, Angels, Miracles, and Other Supernatural Phenomena. Now, we're going to be going to a break here pretty soon. When we do come back from that break, we are going to have one of our speakers with us, Michael O'Neill. You know him as the Miracle Hunter. He'll be sharing with us about those miracles of the Lord. We're going to be talking a little bit about that when we come back from the break, so I certainly do want you to stay tuned. Let me give you the number to use. Toll free for you right here in North America. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Michael will be staying with us through most of the program. He's got to leave us a little bit early because, well, he's just a busy man. It's tough hunting those miracles, right? So we want for you to join us as quickly as you can. Get your question up on the board here. Matt Kabinski is our call screener. 833-288-EWTN. Jeff Burson, social media manager and producer, will get your questions off of EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page in the chat feature. Coming right back to you, I'm Jeanette Williams. It's Women of Grace Live. Our guest, Michael O'Neill. Woohoo! Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Jeanette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy you are with us today, and we want you to know we're eager to hear from you. Let me give you that toll-free number to use. It is toll-free, as I mentioned, right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. Do pick up the phone. Give us a call. Matt Gabinski is our call screener. When you call in, be sure to give him a big old howdy hey. Hopefully, he'll give you a big old howdy hey back. Most importantly, he'll get your name. He'll get where it is you're calling from. He'll get how it is that you're listening and your question. It'll pop up there on the board, and we'll be able to address it. Another way that you can communicate with us today is through EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply go on out there and use the chat feature. Jeff Burson, social media manager, and our producer will go on out, retrieve it, and he'll put it up on the board, and we will be able to address your question or comment as well. Now, if you're outside of North America, we do have a number for you. It is country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, that's country code 1-205-271-2985. Now, before we went to the break, I was telling you about this great upcoming online event that we're hosting October the 1st and October 2nd, Angels, Miracles, and Other Supernatural Phenomena. We are eager for you to join us there. It's going to be a beautiful time in the Lord. Go out to womenofgrace.com. Click on the mention of it there in our events section on our homepage. And when you go out to that landing page, you'll be able to read about it and you'll be able to register there. We are so happy to have with us today one of our speakers, Michael O'Neill, is with us. You know him right here on EWTN Radio as the Miracle Hunter. Hey, Michael, welcome. It's great to have you.
Yeah, it's great to be with you today.
Well, thank you so very much. And I am very eager for this event to happen. There always seems to be a great interest in supernatural things. And yet today we can get very mixed up in things that are coming from a realm other than the natural world, but nonetheless are not of the heavenlies. So you're going to be talking with us all about miracles and how to tell the difference between, you know, what is truly a miracle of God and what could be coming from another source. Do you run into that much as you're out there hunting down these miracles?
I do run into that. And, you know, one of the things that is part of my work or my ministry, as you might say, is that people email me through my miraclehunter.com website, and they have questions about experiences in their own lives. So I do hear the whole spectrum of things, which some things which seem like they shade to the darker side and some things that are quite inspirational. So I hear a lot across the board.
Yeah. Well, I know that you're going to be helping us ferret that out. You know, what should cause suspicion in us? What should we accept? And, you know, we're so blessed because Holy Mother Church gives us good guidance too, doesn't she? And I know that you very much tell people about those beautiful supernatural phenomena that's occurred within the church by way of miracles that the church has approved and said is authentic. So tell us a little bit, you know, you've dealt with so many of them. Which have really impressed you the most?
Well, what's so interesting with when it comes to miracles, and I know you emphasize this as well, is that miracles can be a great boost for our faith. They can inspire us. They can open our eyes to things we wouldn't normally. But when it comes to especially modern miracles, these are optional for our faith. These are the private revelations, even of the highly approved Marian apparitions. We don't need to embrace them. Our church doesn't require that as part of a sort of a day to day posture. So when it comes to miracles, we can accept them if they're helpful for our faith, or we can ignore them if they're not. So we talk about some of these famous cases like Our Lady of Guadalupe. Somebody could say if they wanted to, you know, that is just a painting. You know, they could say that and still be a good Catholic. Or those many miracles of healing at Lourdes, science doesn't know what it doesn't know yet. And someday we'll know that those aren't real miracles. You could say that if you wanted to. Or at Fatima, you could say the children were just making it up to get attention. You could say that if you wanted to. But if anybody has any of those opinions, please email me, because I totally disagree with all of those. But the point is that if those things don't inspire you, if they don't have meaning for you, you know, focus on the words and works of Jesus Christ as found in the gospel and taught to us by our Catholic Church. That's where the centrality of our faith is. But miracles can be a great point of inspiration. But those big moments, like I say, I love Our Lady of Guadalupe. I just filmed a program there that aired this year on EWTN, and getting to be so close to the Tilma was very special. And being in Fatima for the 100-year centenary just a few years ago with a million people, you don't see a million people together anymore these days, but that was very special as well. And then at Lourdes, to be able to bathe in the waters of Lourdes and to talk to some of the people who have had miracles there, it's incredible. So for me, those are the big three that we celebrate. but there are so many miracle stories, big and small, that people do report, even in modern times.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned those big three of Our Blessed Lady, and of those three, I've had the privilege of being at two of the sites. The site that I haven't been at is in Mexico City at the Basilica there. I have not been to witness, you know, that miraculous image of the tilma, even though Our Blessed Mother on television is always behind me under that title and has been for like, oh, I don't know, 30 years maybe? She's been with me maybe even longer than that. And our outreach to women of grace, is consecrated to Jesus through Our Lady of Guadalupe, and she is our special patron. I'm waiting. I don't know what I'm waiting for. I think maybe I'm waiting for like some kind of intimation of the heart that says, go, now is the time, my daughter. But I have been to Lord like you, and I have been to Fatima like you. And I have to tell you, you know, obviously both sites just, bowled me over. But I just felt in Lord, I felt such a special presence, Michael. I don't know if you have had that experience, but from the time and I've been there twice, and both times it was the same way. From the time that, you know, I set foot on the soil of that beautiful little town up in the Pyrenees, I just was overcome with a sense of the presence of our mother.
Absolutely. It's my opinion that Lourdes is the place where you can connect more with Mary than any other place in the world. It's an amazing experience. And one of the very special things, and I highlighted this in one of my Explorer episodes where we showed Lourdes, visiting Lourdes, is that candlelight procession at night. So you have thousands upon thousands of people, lighting their candles, helping their neighbor light their candles, and then processing and saying the rosary in any number of languages. And this happens every night. And I'm not sure with coronavirus what happens these days, but for so many years, this has been a great tradition. And if you can't feel the love of Mary and for Mary in that moment, then you're really missing something. So it's an incredible experience to be at Lourdes.
It really is. And I was there in the centenary year. So Fatima and Lourdes were combined together in a mm-hmm. tour that we led through Women of Grace. And we got there really in March. So we got there 2 months before the big event in Fatima. We kind of owned the city of Fatima in a certain way because the tourism was very light. Things were just getting started. They were just coming out of winter. It was still rather chilly. And it was the same in Lourdes. As a matter of fact, they had a round up volunteer so that we could go into the bath. So they didn't have anybody that was scheduled yet. So we had that town. So we did not have that big candlelight procession at that time. I experienced that on the second time. But that first time, you know, we did, our little tour did our own little candlelight procession, and that was equally meaningful because it was just us in a certain way, and we just felt like we were, you know, sons and daughters of the predilection, you know, that we were chosen for that moment. But, you know, when you experience those kinds of moments, you're very aware of the fact that that something supernatural clearly is taking place here and continues to take place, and that's the beautiful thing about that image in Guadalupe. That the tilma should have been, you know, just decayed years and years ago. But here it is. It's a living image. It's kept alive by heaven's decree.
That's right. The Guadalupe image is one of the most important, artifacts we have in the entire world. And, you know, that Guadalupe event said to occur on December 12, 1531, you might say that is the most important event in the last 500 years in the Western Hemisphere, because before those Franciscans came from Spain to Mexico in 1519, and then the apparitions happening in 1531, there was not a single Christian in the Western Hemisphere before that event. And after that Guadalupan event, we have as many as 9 million Aztecs converting in the decade following, according to the historian Modo Linnea. So many more conversions following that as well. So, and even in America, there's a great devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, including myself. So some people who don't even have any drop of Mexican blood in their body still find inspiration in Our Lady of Guadalupe. So that tilma, you know, Juan Diego, the canonized visionary, the whole story, and 20 million people a year going to visit their mother, including Pope Francis, who's mm-hmm. who's been there in recent years. So it's an amazing place, and I encourage you to get there, Jeanette, when you get a chance.
I want to. You know, as I said to my husband Jack not long ago, I said, you know, listen, I as soon as we can, I want to get back to Lourdes, but I do definitely want to get to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Maybe as soon as things lighten up, you know, may God let things loosen up here soon. I would like to take a pilgrimage there. Michael, maybe we'll have you come with us. That would be really great, because you could take us deeply into the meaning of that, Tilma. It would be
Sounds
absolutely
great.
Fantastic.
I always love going to see Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's an incredible thing. And there's a beautiful shrine even here in the United States in La Crosse, Wisconsin, which mm-hmm. is perhaps my favorite shrine here in the United States. So it's a great way to honor Our Lady.
Absolutely. We've got some callers calling in. Friends, you can call us too, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Simply pick up the phone, punch those numbers in. Matt Gabinski will answer your call. He'll get you up on the air here. He sent me a little notice here when we were talking about the special presence of Our Lady in Lourdes. He says, yes, in capital letters with 4 exclamation points. So he concurs. Matt's waiting for you at 833-288-EWTN. Also, you can use our YouTube channel and Facebook page. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page offers you that chat feature so that you can put your question or comment in there and we will get it. I want to go to Chris, and then we're going to go to Steve. Chris is in San Antonio, Texas. We've got Texans calling us. Both are from Texas. Hey, Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I was just, you know, floored. I was, you know, I try to listen to EWTN when I hop in the car in between going places, and I heard the discussion about miracles, and I was part of the European community. I was deployed in the Navy back in the early 2000s and made a personal pilgrimage to Lourdes. Mm-hmm. At that time, I wasn't very strong in my faith, kind of lukewarm. And, you know, I went to the faucets up at the top where the spigots are, where you can fill up all this water, and kind of splashed my arm, splashed my neck, and said, okay, I'm done. I visited Lourdes. I'm done. And dusk was falling, and I'm getting the car, and I put my glasses on to drive because I needed them, and I lean over to my wife and say, hey, can you clean my glasses? They're kind of smudged. She does, gives them back to me. And I see better with my glasses off. She goes, you need your glasses to dry. Put them on. And sure enough, after that, I went to 2015 vision.
No
day.
Kidding. That's
really
amazing.
And since then, you know, for the next few years, being overseas, went to Orang and a lot of other pilgrimage sites. And every now and then I'm still looking at trees going, I can still see leaves on trees. This is good.
I'm applauding here, Chris. I mean, our God cannot be outdone in generosity. He just cannot be outdone in generosity. And so obviously this set you on a whole new path with regard to your life of faith, right?
Yes, it did.
It did. Oh, that's, thank you so much for sharing, because your witness gives hope to us, right? It lets us know that this God of ours has not left us orphaned, nor has he left us abandoned, but he is involved in the history of man, and not just in the history of man in the general sense, universal sense, but in the history of each one of us, specifically and individually. And that is what your testimony communicates to us today. Thank you so much for calling and sharing. And, you know, I'll bet you, you know, Michael, you see these things, hear these things over and over again in these big, major ways, but, you know, in small, little ways as well.
That's right. We have these capital M miracles that the Catholic Church may investigate over the course of years, decades, centuries, but we also have lowercase m miracles, those things that happen in our everyday life that give us that that overwhelming sense that God is watching us as a loving Father. So it's an incredible thing. Miracles can inspire people in big and small ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, thank you so much for your call today. And we're going to go to Steve, who is also with us in Texas. Hey, Steve, how are you? Are you there, Steve? Hello? Okay, I'm not sure that we've got him with us here. He isn't hearing us, or we're not hearing him. But hopefully, Steve, we will hear you. Give us a call back, and we'll be happy to take your call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986 is the way that you can join us today. Our guest is Michael O'Neill. We know him here at EWTN as the Miracle Hunter. He is going to be with us at our upcoming event, October 1st and 2nd. It is called Angels, Miracles, and Other Supernatural Phenomena. It's going to be a beautiful time. And I know just by hearing what Michael is sharing with you today, your appetite, you know, is increasing for this event, you know, and we've got much, much more for you when the event begins to unfold October 1st and October 2nd. All of the info is available for you right there at our website, womenofgrace.com. We invite you to go out and check it out. When you go out to our homepage, you'll see it listed under events. Click on it. It'll take you to a landing page. It'll tell you about everything. It'll show you who's going to be there speaking and what they're going to be talking about. And you can also register right online. Because it's virtual, we can fit lots and lots of you there. And, you know, Michael, so many of these events have been held online. And I think God makes provision. We've noticed in the events that we've had that, you know, though we're not in person, nonetheless, we get a sense of community, and we certainly do receive those abundant blessings in the Lord. So we know it's going to happen for you October 1st and October 2nd. So we're inviting you to do it. Phone lines are all lighting up. They're getting screened right now, Michael. So, you know, Chris mentioned to us Borang. Tell us a little bit about Borang.
Borang is one of the most highly approved Marian apparitions in history. And when we talk about the approval of apparitions, we only need to point to the approval of the local bishop. So according to the norms of the Congregation for Proceeding and Judging Alleged Private Revelations and Apparitions, that's the long title of the 1978 official guidebook or rulebook that the church has in Latin to how these things are supposed to be investigated. According to that document, the local bishop is the singular authority when it comes to initiating the investigation, giving approvals on Marian apparitions. But the Vatican, as we all know, may show some sign of approval or recognition. There's typically not a formal document or statement from the Pope, but the Church in various ways will indicate that it's behind such an event, because until the Vatican does this, theoretically, happens so very rarely, a secondary bishop could come in later and say, we've reinvestigated it and we're not going to emphasize this devotion anymore. We're going to even overturn it. But that would be in very rare cases. So when we talk about those cases where the Vatican has shown some approval, we are talking about Borang Bonneau in 1932-33 in Belgium and Kibeho in Rwanda and Fatima as the four in the 20th century. So there are very few that the Vatican has actually recognized.
Well, that's very, very important information. And I think when we come back from the break, we'll pick up with that. Lots of phone calls coming in. 833-288-EWTN is the way you can join us too. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy that you're with us today, and we are talking with our guest, Michael O'Neill. You know him as the Miracle Hunter. Certainly do encourage you to listen to him right here on EWTN Radio. I'll have Michael give you a little bit of insight about that program and tell you when it does air in just a moment here. He is going to be one of the speakers with us at our October 1st and 2nd event. It's an online event, Angels, Miracles, and Other Supernatural Phenomena. That is the topic. It's going to be fascinating. And I think that just listening to Michael today, you get a sense of how fascinating it's going to be. We have other speakers coming as well. We've got Mike Aquilina, who's going to be with us. Paul Thigpen is going to be with us. Our own Sue Brinkman is going to be with us. And I'm going to be there too. So it's going to be just a marvelous time in the Lord. I want you to check it out at our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll get a chance to see who's speaking and what they're speaking about. And you will also be able to register right online there. So go out to our website, womenofgrace.com, click on the Angels, Miracles, and Other Supernatural Phenomena mentioned there in our upcoming events, and it'll take you to that landing page, and you can read all about it. Well, Michael, let's go to Tony. He's in Effingham, Illinois, and it's interesting because just before you mentioned Kibeho, his call came in, and he wants to talk about Kibeho for a moment. He's listening to us via Sirius XM station 130. Good morning to you, Tony.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're quite welcome. So go ahead.
Okay, well, I I was listening to him, and he mentioned, you know, the big three, and he hadn't said anything about Cabejo yet. And then while I was waiting for my call to be answered, he did. And but I listen to so many people that are discussing Marian apparitions, and the chances are they won't even mention Cabejo. And you know, this is in our time, and the miracles that occurred there, and what she did in showing those kids the Rwandan genocide is just—it's staggering. It's amazing, and I recall one that was it rained, and I don't remember let me see. Mary asked the kids to take water around and bless the people. And I don't know, there were thousands of people. And then it started raining. And that was interpreted as heaven blessing these people as well. And then as soon as it stopped raining, the ground and the people were all dry. They did not, you know, they were completely dry.
And reminds me
one of them.
Yeah, it reminds me very much. Yeah, it reminds me very much, Tony, of what happened there in Fatima with the rain, and then the instant drying effect that happened after. Well, let's have Michael respond to you. Tell us a little bit about Cabejo, and specifically, if you could, Michael, the event to which Tony is referring to.
Well, thanks, Tony, for your question, and I think you're right. People do not emphasize Cabejo when we talk about these very famous and approved Marian apparitions. In my book, Virgin, Mother, and Queen, I dedicated one chapter each to the 10 Marian apparitions that since the Council of Trent, which is when the church first started investigating these, that not only has the local bishop approved, but the Vatican has recognized. And perhaps the perhaps the reason that people don't emphasize Cabejo is because it is the most recently occurring, in 1981, most recently approved Marian apparition, and it's the only one from Africa, so it stands alone in that way. And what's so interesting about it is that starting in November of 1981, there were six girls and one boy who claimed to see visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary and later Jesus. And only three of those visionaries were approved, Alphonsine, Nathalie, and Marie Claire. And they received Bishop Masago's approval as being authentic. And the others, there were different reservations. And what was interesting about Cabejo is that, first of all, as you pointed out, the big thing that really caught everybody's attention was the prediction of the Rwandan genocide, which started around 1994. And so there was so much devastation, so much death and suffering as a result of that, that everybody took notice. And this was not something that was on anybody's radar. So these predictions kind of verified these apparitions as being true. I think when we talk about Our Lady of Cabejo and compare it to other Marian apparitions, we have to say it is very different, however. So the average number of visions in an apparition perhaps is around 7 when you talk about the very highly approved cases. And at Cabejo, she appeared hundreds or thousands of times, depending on which visionary you talk to. And in most visions, Mary appears for a short amount of time. She relays a short message to the visionary. In the cases in Cabejo, she stayed for hours on end. And there were interesting trances that the visionaries went into where they fell prostrate on the floor or on the ground and they couldn't be moved. They had these dramatic visions. And so the apparitions at Cabejo are somewhat different. Plus, as I mentioned before, half the visionaries were approved at Cabejo, but the other half were not. So there are certain complications that we talk about when we talk about Our Lady of Cabejo, but this is truly the most recent, modern, approved, Vatican-recognized apparition. We have Pope Francis himself commending the bishops of Rwanda to her protection. So the Vatican is fully aware of this and fully in support of it. So I encourage people to find out more about Cabejo. You can go to the website miraclehunter.com. I've got a whole page dedicated to it, or my book, Virgin, Mother, and Queen, has a chapter dedicated to it. But it is truly one of the important apparitions in history, and one of maybe only 10 that the Vatican in recent times has verified.
Yeah. And I do want to let all of you know that Michael O'Neill's book, Virgin Mother and Queen, is available for you at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. Simply go out there. You can order a copy of it. I highly recommend it. I had the privilege to interview Michael on that book for our television program. So I think that you would be enriched by it. I think that you would be inspired by it. I think it would help you to grow in your faith. And I do want to let you know that on November 28th, EWTN will be airing a brand new movie. It's an EWTN movie on Cabejo. So you might want to mark your calendar, Tony, and all of you who are interested in more information about Cabejo for November the 28th, and you'll be able to watch it. Do want to let you know, you can listen to Michael O'Neill Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here on EWTN Radio. So you can stay in the groove with Michael and find out what's new and breaking and learn all about these fascinating occurrences that we have been so privileged to experience through the course of time. So, Tony, we thank you very much for your call. And I wanted to ask you also, Michael, a little bit about Akita, Japan. Sister Sasagawa, interesting events took place there. And I know that it has the approval of the bishop. I don't think it's gone to the Vatican at this point or gotten approval there. But tell us about Akita, because it holds messages, I think, that speak very relevantly to this moment in the history of man.
Absolutely. So Akita, or Akita, as some may pronounce it, is the Japanese devotion to Mary that has caught a lot of attention. And it's very different than other Marian apparitions because Fatima, Lourdes, Guadalupe, these others, these are the corporeal appearance of Mary walking amongst us on earth, as the visionaries perceive her to be a real person. In the case of Akita, this is a statue in the form of Our Lady of All Nations, which was said to emanate messages and exude tears of human tears and human blood. And this happened on 101 occasions from July 6, 73 to September 15, 1981. And Sister Agnes Sasagawa was the nun who sort of experienced these locutions. She was deaf and she regained her hearing as one of the major miracles associated with that. And scientists have actually investigated through the bishop's initiation and found that the tears coming from the statue are human tears, and the blood emanating from the palm of the hand is human blood. And neither the tears nor the blood match that of Sister Agnes Sasagawa, which was a debate whether this was some other phenomena that was happening there. So it's an amazing thing. It's one of the truly amazing modern miracles that the church has validated. And by saying the church validated, I'm speaking specifically only of the local bishop, because Bishop John Shirojiro Ito of Niigata in 1984, he gave his approval to the supernatural character of the events. However, there has been no further commentary from the bishop's conference or other subsequent bishops, and Rome has never showed any signs of approval or recognition for it. So it stands as a fully approved Marian event, but it doesn't have that same status as Lourdes, Fatima, Guadalupe, where we see a feast day that's been set up, and the visionary is still alive. She perhaps is the last living visionary of these approved cases. So it's a very interesting case. And the messages, however, there's great controversy with the messages, so that complicates things as well.
Yeah, and I think that that's probably one of the reasons why we haven't heard, some kind of official approbation from Rome. But nonetheless, I think that our Blessed Mother, when she comes at these moments, Michael, is coming in the role of a prophet. She's communicating to the children of God what it is that they need to know about what is taking place and how it is that they can impact them. And we see this so clearly in Fatima with our Blessed Mother, telling us about what was taking place. We didn't even know that the Bolshevik Revolution was really happening or was going to happen at the time that she talked about it. And she was talking about Russia spreading its errors all over the world. That didn't seem to fit into what was taking place in history at that time. But our Blessed Blessed Mother knew, and she gave us the antidote, and she told us we needed to pray the rosary and to pray it every day. And one can only wonder what would have happened if every Catholic would have heeded that. One can only wonder what would happen if any Catholic today would heed that, and how the world could be changed because of it. So it's, you know, our mother comes to protect us. She comes to feed us. She comes to nourish us, but she also comes to warn us. And so many of the apparitions are like that. And Akita, Japan, I think, is an example of that. What do you think?
I think so too. And, you know, I think that it's a fascinating case. I mean, it's validated by science, investigated and approved by the local bishop. So there's a great deal of support for the things that went on. And the messages are quite disturbing and difficult, both for the church and the world. But I think it can open our eyes up. And Mary does this on some occasions. You know, she comes in peace and prayer and in drawing people closer to her son as a general concept with these Marian apparitions. But there are warnings that come at Cabejo and Akita. So I think that it's an important apparition for that reason.
Yeah, we have Andrew out there. And let me just ask you a question. I know that you've got someplace to go, so I don't want to hold you longer. So you just let me know, Michael, okay, when you're ready to go. And if this has to be our last question, then let it be. But this is Andrew. He's out there on YouTube, and he says, how about Our Lady of Nahu? I am not familiar, N-A-J-U. I'm not familiar with this apparition. Are you?
I am. So this is an alleged Marian apparition that's received by Julia Kim in Korea, Naju, Korea. And this one has been condemned by the church. And so as a general practice, I'd say that as interesting as some of these cases may be, like at Naju, where it says that Julia Kim receives Eucharistic hosts manifesting and bleeding on her tongue, as the various photographs have revealed, we still have to be obedient to the Mother Church, who's done the investigation on these and warns us against cases like Naju, Korea.
Okay. You know, and that's important to remember. This area of docility is a virtue that we need to beg God to give us so that we can act obediently in light of these things. And we have to remember that the evil one can mimic, you know, he can mimic miracles and make them something look like a miracle, but it's really a counterfeit. I think even some of the great saints were fooled from time to time by the evil one. So just because something appears to be miraculous doesn't necessarily mean that it is. And we're using that term referencing only those things that God works, as opposed to the various kinds of counterfeits that the evil one can produce.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a great way to wrap up our conversation today. I think that, you know, we have to be docile to the church's investigation and judgment on these things, but up to the point where the church has ruled against something, if we find inspiration in them and draws closer to Jesus and his mother, then miracles and these apparitions can be quite valuable assets in our faith.
Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us today, Michael. You certainly have, I think, ignited a desire in the hearts of all of our listeners to join us for this beautiful upcoming event. You have a blessed and holy day, and we'll be with you October 1st and October 2nd for our online event. God bless you now, Michael.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye-bye now. You know, so friends, I do want to remind you that this upcoming event is going to be terrific. October 1st and 2nd, angels, miracles, and other supernatural phenomena. You got a taste. We gave you an appetizer today, a little taste. The main course, October 1st and 2nd. Get on out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it there listed under the events on the homepage. Click on it. It's a hyperlink. It'll take you to the landing page. You can read about all who are coming. You can see what their topics are, and you can register right online there. We're certainly hoping that you will indeed do just that. So I also want to take a call that we've got here. I think we've got a call ready. Let me know. Meanwhile, while I'm getting that information, we've got Pam out there on Facebook. Today being Padre Pio feast day, where there are other holy people who had the stigmata. Well, Pam, thank you very much for asking that question. You know, it's interesting because the stigmata is a very, very special gift of God. And what is that gift? It is a type of bodily participation in the one sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It unifies the individual in a certain way with that event on Calvary's Hill. And the stigmata would be the marks or the wounds of Christ appearing in that person's body. Now, stigmata can appear on a person where it's manifested through his body, where he will have the marks of the nails in his hands, in his feet, sometimes along the side. Others will have the piercings from the crown of thorns. Blood will come from their bodies. And they will be in real agony as they're experiencing these. Sometimes the stigmata will remain. Padre Pio, his stigmata was always active. Others will have it only maybe on Fridays, and some maybe just during Holy Week or on Good Friday. There are also invisible stigmata. Invisible stigmata is not something that can be seen. It's taking place interiorly to the person. There are stigmatists out there who will experience every Friday or during Holy Week once again, or on Good Friday specifically, they'll experience the agony, and they will go into a almost like a trance-like state, and it'll be very obvious that this individual is in great pain. There will be scientific tests that are done to see if this is being faked or if it's true, and that can pull a counterfeit away from something that might be authentic. So all of that being said, that's what this stigmata is all about. Who has had the stigmata? That's the other part of your question. Well, Padre Pio is probably the most famous in contemporary times. Padre Pio had the stigmata. He passed away in 1968. He's a canonized saint of the church. His experiences, very well documented. The church did many investigative studies on these moments in his life, on the wounds that he had, on the blood that issued forth, and they found this to be authentic. He suffered greatly for it in lots of different ways, not only physically, but emotionally as well. But historically, we say that the first saint to really manifest these, I do believe, is Saint Francis of Assisi. And so Saint Francis had them. But then there's a case to be made, too, for our Blessed Mother, who, we recall Simeon's words at the moment of the presentation, and a sword will pierce your own heart, so that the secret thoughts of many might be laid bare. You remember that, right? And so we see then on Calvary's Hill that Our Lady experiences this moment where mystically a sword pierces her heart. And so that would be an invisible wound that we would liken to a stigmata that Our Lady experienced. And then we read about St. Paul, and he says that he has this thorn in the flesh that he might be united to the sufferings of Christ. We don't quite know what that thorn in the flesh was, but it might have been an invisible stigmata, maybe even one that appeared, on certain days of the week or times of the year. We don't know about that. So there is that potential evidence of this going back even further than St. Francis of Assisi. So there have been other stigmatists too throughout time. And I do believe that Michael treats of this in his book. I know that Adam Bly treats of it in his book. There's a lot of ways in which you can find out about it. Maybe the first one to really begin to popularize the individuals who had the stigmata is Joan Carol Cruz, C-R-U-Z. She wrote a book on the stigmata and on stigmatists. And I'm sure that is still available for you there. So we certainly do thank you for your question. There is a statement being made too, wondering about Medjugorje. And Medjugorje is not yet an approved apparition. The apparitions have to cease before the church can actually begin to do the investigative work that needs to be done. There's been a lot of press about Medjugorje. Right now, it is still an unapproved apparition. Now, we do know that Pope John Paul II, now St. John Paul II, said people could make pilgrimage to Medjugorje. So we have that consent of Rome, if you will, that people can go to Medjugorje, can make pilgrimage there. There are many, many people who owe their conversion to Our Lady of Medjugorje and having gone there. Very well-known individual is Father Donald Calloway, who talks about the importance of Medjugorje in his own conversion experience. He's not the only one. Many priests came into a deeper union with Our Blessed Mother as a result, with Our Lord as a result. Many of them found their vocation through Our Lady there. I personally have been there. There are It's a lot of supernatural phenomena, but the supernatural phenomena alone is not what makes an apparition true. So there's investigative work that has to be done, but the apparitions have to cease in order for that to take place. So we can say that about Medjugorje at this point in time. We find all of these things so very fascinating, but as Michael reminds us, we are obligated by our Catholic faith to believe revelation, public revelation. Public revelation ended with the passion, death, and resurrection, ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the letters that were chosen by Holy Mother Church to be part of the canon that came forth from St. Paul, that came forth from St. Peter, St. James, and St. John. So that is the canon. That's public revelation. The rest is private revelation, and we can believe it or not. But I say this, if the church approves it, there's something there for each one of us. It's been great being with you today. We're going to be back again with you tomorrow. Looking forward to being with you then. Until we have that opportunity, I am wishing you a blessed and holy day. May every moment be laden with grace for you. May we be aware of the grace of the present moment, and may we always act upon it, even as it acts upon us. You've been listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Get out to womenofgrace.com. Sign up for that very good event. Until we're together again, may God bless you. Bye-bye now.